All right, let's continue on Hey Yemen Aleph. Okay, another very interesting Gemara here. So what do we have up till now? In other words, now you have that Rabbah learns... So Rabbah learns that what? That the Beitzah... everybody agrees, Barishona, the Beitzah was Muteras. In the event they had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Because then it was clearly just Alpi Safik. But then when they were Misakein not to accept Edom after Mincha, so then a 2 day Rosh Hashanah would have a real din of Kedusha Achas. And Begolus they had to keep 2 days because they didn't know what happened, if it was a 1 day or a 2 day. So then Begolus, the Beitzah would always be Usher. Because maybe it was a 2 day Rosh Hashanah in Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim, if it was 2 days, the Beitzah would also be Asura. But then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, after the Chorban, returned to the practice of accepting the Edom all day. Because there was no problem of the Shear, of the Kilkel and the Shear. So then Rav's contention is that at that point, for the people in Eretz Yisrael at least, for the people in Yerushalayim at least, the Beitzah now is Muteris. Right? Because you reverted back to the system of like Barishona. The only thing is, the Gemara is saying that according to Rav and Shmuel, outside of the area where they knew what happened in Yerushalayim, the places that they always had to be knowing 2 days continued to have they continued their niyug of the original takana, and the Beitzah would still be asura. But in Yerushalayim, the Beitzah would be Muteris. Okay. So now the Gemara is like this. Now the Gemara takes up a different question. Rav Yosef Omar Af Mitakonas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Ve'elach Beitzah Asura. He means even in Yerushalayim. Right? Because everybody was agreeing in Golos that it's Asura. And he's arguing with Rabbah, who held that at least in Yerushalayim it should be Muteris. Okay. Now this is a very long... the Gemara doesn't conclude with Rav Yosef until the middle of the next daf. Okay? So it goes like this. Now it's trouble with Rav Yosef. Why? Rav Yosef says, my time, havi davar shebeminyan, v'chol davar shebeminyan, sarach minyan acher la'atiro. Okay, so what does that mean? Havi davar shebeminyan. Beitzah zu. That's what's strange about Rav Yosef. For some reason he's talking about the egg, the case of the egg itself, right? It says the Beitzah itself ne'aseres bekibutz chachamim shenimnu v'gomru la'asosan shnei yomim kedusha achas im lo bo edim v'nei mincha. So this Beitzah became aser with a gathering of chachamim who were counted and they taught, and there was they nimnu v'gomru means they held a vote, right, and they decided that there'll be 2 days of Kedusha, 2 days of Kedusha Achas, if the Edom don't come before Mincha. V'chol ha'osin shnei yamim, machmas kein asu. And whoever does 2 days outside of Eretz Yisrael, wherever you're doing 2 days, you're doing it because of this possibility. Shema lo bo Edom l'beis n'kodem ha'mincha. So the egg became asur through a minion. So now you'll need a minyan acher sheyimnu l'cho v'yatiruhu. You'll need another minyan that's going to get together and be mata the egg. U'lekom parchinon beitza mi itzera b'minyan. So the Gemara is going to ask later. It doesn't get doesn't resolve what Rav Yosef actually means until much later, when the Gemara asks, what are you talking about, Rav Yosef? There was no based in getting together about an egg. The whole kibbutz chachamim was about whether we're going to accept Edom until the mincha or after mincha, and everything else is just flows from that. So how could you say there's a How could you say that although Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai changed the practice of and allowed us to accept Eidim after Mincha, they didn't convene about the egg, so the egg is going to remain Aser? It doesn't make any sense, right? But we're not going to get to that till that doesn't get resolved till much later, right? But that's the question. Valo lo nimnu ella al kabbalas edus. The only thing they actually originally made a takana on was the kabbalas edus. Ubahu chozer bo Rabbi Yochanan v'itiru. So what do you mean? What's left to be? What's left to be for nimnu v'gamru? The only reason the Beitza became asura is because they were nimnu v'gamru not to accept edim. Now they were nimnu v'gamru to accept edim. Okay, so we'll just have to leave that hanging right now. But now the Gemara takes up the question itself. What does it mean that kol davar shebimin tzarich min achilatiro? Okay, so he says, Amar Rav Yosef, mino amin Allah. How do I know the kol davar shenesav b'minyan tzarich min achilatiro? Now here's the key. We got to figure out which case, what's the situation that we're talking about. So Rashi explains, va'afilu ira davar she'ata yochol lehoros bo heter. Very, very interesting Gemara. Even if something happened that you could learn, you could decide, you could teach that it was, you could be Mora Heter. Velomar, what? Ein takonas minyan harishon omedes. See, we're talking about a very specific case. We're talking about a very specific case where there's a gezera or a takana of some sort that was made, and then it's possible for a later group to decide and to understand and figure out that the whole reason for that original takana no longer applies. That's the situation we're dealing with. You understand? Because like the Miri mentions, we're not dealing with a case where it's one Beis Din's decision to override simply override the decision of another Beis Din. In that circumstance, you need gadol b'chachma b'minyan. Right? This is not a question of gadol b'chachma. If one Beis Din decided to make a takana and all of the same reasons apply, so then for another Beis Din to undo it, that's not what we're talking about. That's not just stam kol davar shebiminyan tzarich minyan achilatiro. That's a separate thing. That's in order for one Beis Din to override another Beis Din, then you need gadol b'chachma b'minyan. Right? This is just stam. This is a separate case. This is where the original takana's reason no longer applies. You understand? The original reason for the takana no longer applies. Then you just stam need a minyan. Now, the Meiri says even an inferior basin. You just need another convention of chachamim to undo that that takana.
What could be a basin of three?
How big of a basin? I don't know. Kibbutz Chachamim. I don't know. Mistavi, you need to get the consensus of either the representative basin of the whole Am or some sort of consensus. But so he says like this. Sheyimnu, there you go. Mino amino, yeah. So that's the case. Afilu ira davar shati yochol lahoros bo heter velomar ein takonas minyan harishon omedes ki hocha afilu hocha hachi oser ad shiyatiru beferish bekibbutz chacham. Yeah. Okay, so let's see. So where do they derive this from? The case is very interesting too. Leich emor lohem. Shuvu lochem lo'olechem. So what's that? That's after Har Sinai, right? So before Har Sinai, they were told to separate from their wives for 3 days, right? And then after Har Sinai, it says now you can return to your tents, okay? The Omer, and it says, Bimshoch Ayovel Hema Yalu Bahar. Okay, that's a little bit complicated what the rest of this is. So what does that mean? So Rashi is like this. Leich emor lehem. L'komim forish lo heichi yolef. Yeah. Alright, I guess he's not going to explain to you, shall we? Let's take the story. This is all part of the Braisa, by the way. It says Tanan Kerem Revi. This is a clear case. At least you get the case. A good example of what we're talking about. So Kerem Revoi. So what was that? What does that mean? So it says like this: the fourth year is supposed to be is Kodesh, right? He's supposed to bring it to Yerushalayim to eat, right? It's like Maaseh Sheni, the fourth year. So he says, really you have a choice. Midrash is a choice. You can either bring it all to Yerushalayim to eat it there, or you can be poda where you are and bring the money to Yerushalayim, right? So there was a takanas chachamim that anybody who lived one day away from Yerushalayim should not be poda the peros, but should bring them to Yerushalayim instead. Okay, and eat them there. Kedei la'ater shukei Yerushalayim b'peros. So the markets of Yerushalayim should be filled with fruits. Okay, so that was the takana. That really you have a right to be poda and just bring the money to Yerushalayim. But there was a takana to give a certain kavod to Yerushalayim, that there should be a vibrant city. With full marketplaces, so it was a takana. If you lived within a certain radius of Yerushalayim, you should not be poda, and you should bring it dafka. Okay? What's that?
They can spend those fruits on Yerushalayim.
So then you could, anybody can eat them there.
Anyone else?
Yeah. Yeah. Just, well, I guess you could sell them to, you could be poda them there. I mean, no. What would you do? You'd bring them there, and how are the marketplace is going to get filled with them? Yeah. You mean you'll sell them there? Yeah, Mustafa, they're going to sell them there. Yeah. Okay, you're not going to eat. If the guy's going to be poda, he has a lot of stuff to schlep. You'll see. So what happened over here? It's a carom. It's a whole. It's not just a guy's apple tree in his backyard. Yeah. Okay, so what happens? So it gives you the places where you have to go. Now what happened to me like this? Matam k'dei la'ater shukei Yerushalayim b'peros. So that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, why did they make this takana? There's a clear time given for this takana, in order that Yerushalayim should be crowned with fruits. And then, but now there's a braisa. It says Rabbi Eliezer had a kerem revoi. He had and he was within the jurisdiction of bringing it to Yerushalayim. Okay. So what did he want to do? He was going to be mafkrit to the aniyim. Why? Because he didn't want to have to bring it up to Yerushalayim. Basically, it would have been a big tircha to him to bring it up to Yerushalayim. He didn't want to have to do it. So he was going to be mafkirit to the aniyim, and the aniyim would bring them there. Okay. So his talmidim said, Rebbe, they already were nimnu on this, and you don't have to do it anymore. Who was nimna? Who was it? It was Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yeah. So what does it mean? It means they already made they already were nimnu, and they were matir liftoso lalos damav. They basically rescinded that takana. Now, because after the korban, there's no more reason for it. There's no more Yerushalayim is not a city that's in control of the Jews. So what's the reason to go and bring peros for the gayim? Right, it's not in line with the whole idea of the takana. It's basically the classic example where there's a takana with a tam, and the tam of the takana is batal. Okay? But the Gemara says, you see from this though, that he was only mutter to do because they were nimnu vigamru, halo nimnu lo. Right? V'afal gav, this is the key. This is what Rashi says. V'afal gav, what? Dimimela lesa litakanta kamaisa. Even though, without nimnu v'gamru, the original takana really doesn't exist anymore. It's dimimela lesa litakanta kamaisa. The whole idea of the original takana was to beautify Yerushalayim. But now that you have the Chorban, so what are we supposed to do? Beautify it for the Nachrim? So you see clearly that this is the scope of this din. That we have a takana. This is the question. You have a takana with a clear intention, a clear purpose, and now the purpose itself is no longer applicable. Does the takana automatically fall off, or does it need another maisa to undo? But we're not talking about a takana that still has a full force, that's still in full force and effect. That you need a Beis Din Gadol, Chacham Lemeinu. And let's just go through the whole thing now. Yeah, Michael. Okay. So now the Gemara says now the Gemara is going to analyze this whole brisa. Right. Now the Gemara is going to analyze it. This is all one long proof. So what's the whole proof? So it says like this: My ve'omer. So what does it mean ve'omer? Why does the brisa say from? Because it says. Lechem or lehem shuvu lechem lo lechem ve'omer b'mshocha yovolhem oyalibar. What do you need both? So it goes like this. This is a little bit of a question. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how you interpret this proof. But let's just stick with the Rashi now to get the basic idea. So it goes like this. So what does the pasuk say? It says, "Prepare yourself, be for 3 days, and don't touch a woman." Then it says, "Lechem or lohem, shuvu lochem lo alechem." But then it says, "Go back to your to your tents." Lamali, what do you need that for? Shema mina, called over shavmi, and tzarach mina chelatira. Right? What does it say, Rashi? Hochi komar. Kach lomad min arishon. Michti ksiv hayunachonam shloshes yomim. So what do you learn from the first one? You learn like this. Hayunachonam shloshes yomim al tikshu el isha. Umemele ishtiru betashrish lacha shloshes yomim. Shekiblu as a Torah. Lomale le mahader le ulemitein le hu rishus loshuv le ohaleyem. Dainu Tashmish, Shema Mino, Ho, Vekudja Brichu, Osar, Boile Misharye, Hu Gufe Beheja. Who didn't hold up Shemin? So he's saying, it only, the original Tzivoy was for 3 days. So when the 3 days are up, what do you need statements for that you can go with his mother? So you see, since it was Osar through God, Since Kudshim Brichu said it was Aser, you need another statement to permit it. Tough, Rashi, huh? Now he says like this. So what's the ode? V'chi temer l'mitzvahs onahu d'asah. So maybe you'll tell me that wasn't really an idea of undoing the original Isser. That was a separate thing, giving them a new mitzvah's owner. So then you have the second raya, B'mshocha Yovel. All right, a little bit complicated that Rashi learns this, but basically the same idea. Shema mino, davar shem min, tzorach min achel atiro. V'chi tema, ani mili bidor raisa, but maybe you'll say this whole idea is only in the raisas. Only if Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you it's Asur, you need another statement to say it's Mutter. But maybe in the Rabbanan it doesn't work that way. Maybe if the Rabbanan say, bring up the Kerem Ravoi in order that the Yerushalayim should be crowned with the fruits, and then the whole Yerushalayim is Chareva, maybe you don't need another statement. Maybe that's just an idea in the Torah. That's why it brings down the case of Kerem Ravoi. right? Karam Ravai is only midrabanan, and it said it's only mutter because they already made the they were nimnu alecha. Yeah. Okay. So let's just understand this idea. So Tosus mentions really there's two ways of understanding what this Gemara is talking about. Okay. Rashi is a little bit ambiguous. Which way he exactly means. Right? When he first starts out, it sounds like one way, but then when he goes through the psukim, he sounds like the other way. So he says like this. Let's take a look at Tosus. He says, Yesha you wrote some lomar mikan, the osun charamos, she osun lizman, acher pesach, o adzman acher, the chi agi azman, sorch minyan lahatir, esacherim, afopish over zman. So some want to say that, I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to, but apparently he used to make certain decrees that people shouldn't do certain things. For a certain zman, they say, okay, up until Pesach, nobody should do this. The chayim, anyone who does this up until Pesach, right? Or some other zman. So some wanted to say that according to this Gemara, if the town, if the Ziknei Ha'ir made a chayim and anybody who does something, even though they put in a time limit, at the end of the time limit, they have to undo it. At the end of that time, they have to undo it. And what's their raya? From here, Dare Hacha, Dare Kosh Baruch Hosalam Tashmish Bishvil Matan Torah. Right? Kosh Baruch Hu said Tashmish Osir because of a certain reason to prepare yourself for Matan Torah. Umemela Yadin and Delacha Shlosha Yomim, the Nosna Torah, the Mutaran. So we should know Memela, it's basically like a time limit. It's basically like a time limit. V'yafal pikein hitilem. So that was their claim. That since it says hayunichon l'shloshes yomim, right? And at the end of the shloshes yomim, there was a reinstatement of the hetter tashmish. So that's just so you see, even though something has a specific. It has a specific limitation on it. When that limitation comes, you still need another minion to undo it. So Tosa says that's wrong. Velohi. Tahacha ein kan shum zman. The pasuk is not really giving a time. Dikra deheyu nechonim l'shloshes yomim really means like this. Hizminu atzmechem l'dovar sheyihye l'sof shloshes yomim. It doesn't mean prepare yourself for 3 days. You understand? If it meant prepare yourself for 3 days, then it would be exactly like the charamim that they say apply for 3 months or whatever it is. That would be a raya. He says, but that's not the case. The case, it doesn't say, heyu nechonim shloshes yamim. Right? It's lishloshes yamim. Prepare yourself for something that is coming in 3 days. Right? Hainu mochiach shapir dechi hechi detzorach lahatir tashmish. Right? If it would have been shloshes yamim without the lamed, then it would have been a good raya. But since it didn't say that, shma mino gabi tashmish tzorach lahatir mishum dechsiv al tigshu el isha. Dimashmo olamis. It's not totally clear from the pasuk what it means, right? It says al tigshu el isha, and then it says what? Hayunichonim lishloshes yamim al tigshu el isha. Prepare yourself for something that's coming in 3 days, and don't touch a woman. But it doesn't say Heyu nechonim shloshes yamim al tikshu al isha. That would mean prepare yourself for a 3 day term of not touching a woman. But here, it's not, they're two separate phrases really. Prepare yourself for something that's coming in 3 days and don't touch a woman. But the 3 days is not a modification of how long. Al tikshu alisha. It's lishloshes yamim. Umidloksiv hachi shma mino gabi tashr sorch latam ishan duchsiv al tishvizah. Dimashmer olamas ki yechidos lem kodem matan Torah shloshes yomim. Avach haramos she masimim lizman michi over zman v'meil over vein sorch heter.
Yeah, the only thing is that you've got to say according to Tosfos though, so what do you need, so then what's the chiddush over here? Right? In other words, you have to say according to Tosfos that it can't be, what is the idea then according to Tosfos? That's the Davar Pashut. If the Torah says don't do something, you can't just decide you're going to do it at a certain period, a certain time. Right, Tosfos is getting a little bit caught. You can't completely break apart the 3 days from the Altikshu Alisha, otherwise there's no raya to hear from here to any other case. This is just like a case where the din changed, right? But that's what he says later on. I think he has it explains more that you could figure it out al pi svara. It's not intrinsically. It's not in the statement. It's not a statement that has a time limit to it. You understand? But it's clear the reason for the Al Tikshu Alisha. Right?
What can we, potential
problem is like this. If you're just going to say that at one time it says Al Tikshu Alisha, right? And then another time it says, okay, now you can go back, right? That is not relevant to our discussion. That's just, of course, that's not a chiddush. There's no chiddush that if the Torah tells you something is usur, absolutely, you can't do it unless the Torah tells you another time it's mutter. There's no havamina about something like that, right? It's only because there's, like Rashi says, there's a svara to say that the Al Tikshu Al Isha is related to the and even though there's a svara to say it, you can't, since it wasn't intrinsically given with a time limit, it still needs, because you got to still make it like a case where there's a takana with a tam and the tam falls off. But anyway, if you want to go through, you got to go through the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos on the case of Mshoch HaYovel. But let's just get down to the Svara question over here. So Tosfos has two possibilities. If Beis Din makes a Cherem for 3 months, let's say, do they need another Beis Din to be Matirit? Right, there's a sheet like that. Seems like Rashi holds that way. I think it's a Rashi in Sanhedrin that says that. But Tosfos holds that's not what this Gemara is talking about. What this Gemara is talking about is something different. Where there's a statement that is absolute in its nature, but its but its purpose is clear, and then the purpose falls away. Does it need another Maisa to be Matir? But what do you say about the first way? Doesn't that just sound like a crazy kind of idea? I mean, what kind of an idea is that? The Beis Din says it's Mutter in 3 months, and then they have to come in and say it's Mutter at the end of 3 months? I mean, what kind of an idea is that? He doesn't give that reasoning. Right. Yeah, so the Rashba says that the Tosa says, in the name of Rashi, Apparently, it's not clear if Rashi changed his mind at some point. It says of Rashi la'achar chazor. But anyway, there definitely are two positions. So one the position of this Tosfos is that if they make it for a zman, when the zman comes, they don't need to be matir. Why? He says the lo garami no der o nishba ad zman. It's no different than if a guy makes a neder, I'm not going to eat a certain thing for 30 days. At the end of that zman, this neder is over. He doesn't have to go to be matir a neder at the end of that zman. It's intrinsically limited. V'hocho lo nosna ha-Torah zman, ela she'osra machmas tam. right? But our case of ayunachon and l'shloshes yomim, it doesn't give a 3-day limit on the iser tashmish. It just gives a straight iser with a reason, right? Before matan Torah, it's giving an iser of tashmish. So it's obvious that the iser tashmish is in preparation for matan Torah, right? But it's not an intrinsically, it's not a mitzvah given with a zman. That's the way they're learning. They're learning the whole setup as a question of when there's an absolute iser, but with a tam, and the tam falls away. But if the iser is given with the zman itself, then there's no reason to have another maisa. Right? But there are shitas that hold, even if it's given with a tam, even if it's given with the zman, they still need to come in at the end of the zman and be matir. So let's understand that shita. A shita that sounds strange to us. That you still would need the zman. Like they do that, like they have a chayrim, they used to do, like if someone would write a sefer or something. So they would, there's no copyright laws other than halacha. So, but they would make a chayrim and say whoever, nobody should copy the sefer for whatever, a year. Let the mechaber make money on the printing. So they'll make a chayrim, right? But after the year, would they have to come and say, okay, now it's mutter to copy it? Or would you just say that chayrim falls off? The chayrim itself had a zman. Now, there's a question in this sugya is what is the question about, right? I mean, they're exploring, what are we exploring over here? We're exploring the nature of takana, right? Exploring the nature of takana. Right? The existence of the Maisa basin. What type of an existence does it have? So if you're going to learn like this Chayrem Shita that says you still need to be Matir, so what are they telling you? What does it mean? What do you see from that right away? What's the one thing you see from that? Is that they're really holding that a maiso takana is absolute. Right? There's no such thing as a temporary act. The nature of takana is absolute. That's the nature of takana. Right? It's not like a personal neder to do something for, not to do something for a certain amount of time. They're learning that what is it showing you when it says that it has to be undone? That's exactly what it's showing you, right? The nature of takana. Takana, the character of takana is absolute. You can't have a temporary. Temporary is a tarta de sasri to takana, right? So they're only saying, and that's what the Gemara is saying, that even though on the face of it, it seems like it should naturally have a zman and should just fall off, but the nature of takana is such that it's absolute and it must be undone, it must be rescinded in order to make it temporary. But not that it can be given with a time limitation on it itself. So therefore, even if they say it's only for 3 months, that means to say that they're giving reshus to any other basin after them to be ochre it. So giving it with the reshus for another nimnu v'gamru to be ochre it. Right? Otherwise, you might say that the cherem. If they would just give it without that time limit, then maybe it would be an inyan that you need a gadol chachma b'minyan to make a new evaluation. So saying that we're going to make it with an evaluation that this is all it takes, this is all it needs, but the nature of takana is absolute, so we're giving reshus to any basin after this to be mavatlet. But Tosfos and most of the Rishonim, you see he quotes in the Moser of Kook, a tshuva from the Rush, I didn't look at it, but the most of Rishonim seem to go the other way. That's not what this is all about. Beis Din can make a takana that's temporary. There can be, in the nature of takana, an intrinsic limitation on zman. This is a completely different question. This is a completely different question. A fascinating question. And what is the question? What is the question? Yeah. Differently. The Gemara is not talking about that at all. No, it's according to the way Tosis is learning that you didn't need this Gemara for. You didn't need the Gemara to tell you that if you make a Cheren for 3 months, the Cheren falls off. The Gemara is coming for a much more complicated question, where there's an unlimited Takana, right? But its whole purpose is a certain, its whole reason is a certain purpose, right? The reason why they got together in the first place to make it was because of a Tam. Now, can someone come later and say, what if you come later and you say, the whole Tam is gone? What happens to that Takana? What happens to that Takana? You have to realize, though, you have to be very careful and think about this carefully. It was not given with a time limit. That's the key element here. Because the Gemara is saying this is even applicable by Daraisis. Right? It's applicable by Daraisis. That the form of the Gzeira was not intrinsically limited by Zman, but it's associated with a Tam. Can we now say when the Tam falls off that the din itself falls off? And it's an amazing thing. What's amazing about this Gemara is it's not just talking about Stam Takanos. It's even the Dvar Hashem. Right? It's even the Dvar Hashem. It's interesting though that they're considering that like a Takana, not like a mitzvah itself. Right, because that was just for that. It was before Matan Torah, and it was for a limited purpose. Yeah. So what do you say? See, and what's also interesting in the Gemara is that the Gemara is a Havamina. The Gemara says that it had to bring down the case of the Kerem to show you there's a Havamina that this idea is only by the Daraisas, but not by Drabonans. Right. So you have to follow that. You have to work that step through too. What happened to the Takana? I mean, what the Havamina is what interests me. They made a Takana, bring up the fruits to Yerushalayim, or don't be poed to the fruits to if you live near Yerushalayim. They made the Takana, right? The Takana had no time limit on it. So, what happened to the Takana? What would happen to it? What would happen to it? Why would you not have to follow it? Right? What does Rashi say? Rashi says that it's a case where ira davar shata yochol lahoros boheter velomar ein takonas minyan harishon omedes. You'll be able to say their original takana doesn't stand anymore. Something happened that their original takana doesn't stand anymore. Kihacha. Right, that's the question. Kihacha. Like whatever, however he's learning the Beitza, there'll be that kind of thing. Like if for some reason they made a Gzeira on the Beitza, but now they undid the whole thing, because now they're accepting the Edom all the way through the day. So obviously whatever they said about the Beitza is not applicable anymore. But does the Takana, is the Takana still stand? Does the Takana still stand? It seems to be something like this, that that when based in acts, right, based in acts, they make a takana. So let's say you made a takana. Okay? Let's say you made a physical takana. Right? Painted the house. You fixed something up. Right? You painted the house. And then the house burned down. So obviously there's nothing left of your original takana. It's just as gone. You fix something up, but the whole thing is destroyed, so now there's nothing left. It's obvious there's nothing left, right? So with based in, there's a question though. In other words, with based in, that also is true. If they do a real takana, then they're qualifying an entity. There is an idea of a takana that has an effect, and the effect is still existent. Right. In that case, you need a minion. You need a dover. You need a basin that's gadol b'chachma b'minyan to undo it, because that is really a positive existence. That's really like an improved chefzer. That's there's really an existing chalos shem. So in order for an entity, a true Chal Hashem that one Beis Din creates, you'd need a Beis Din greater than them to remove. How do you have a Beis Din, by the way, that's greater b'minyan if they have the biggest Beis Din, if you can't have bigger than Sanhedrin? How do you ever have a Beis Din that's gadol b'chachma b'minyan? Anything that Sanhedrin does, how can you have a gadol b'minyan? Anybody know the answer to that question?
You can't.
Because it means, what they want to say is, they say it doesn't mean, it means b'minyan of the, it includes the haskama of all the chachamim of the door. When you're figuring out the idea of minyan. So it could be a greater, he doesn't go by, it's not limited to the Beis Din itself. It's limited to all who are maskim with the thing. So anyway, so, but that's an idea when there's a real chalos. And now there's like a new existence that has to be removed. Our question is when the existence is naturally removed. Right? You fixed up the house, but the house burned down. That's it. It's removed. But there's a further question. Is there also an existence just from the Dvar Beis Din? Is there a secondary existence of the thing, even apart from its chalos? In other words, is there a separate idea of keeping the Dvar based in itself? So that's why the Gemara was not sure. Maybe that's only by the Dvar Hashem. That there's a certain chi of because it was Yotza Mipi Kutche Brichu. It was Yotza Mikutche. It was Rashi saying, Ho will the Kutche Brichu who Osir Boy Le Mishre Hu Gufe Beheja. You need something that, in other words, the causative agent itself gives it a kiyum. There's a kiyum of the thing in its chalos, but there's also a kiyum of the thing from the source. So even when the chalos is gone, but it still exists as the decree of Beis Din. The chalos is gone, but the maisa Beis Din is never gone. So that's what this Gemara seems to be saying. That if the chalos is existing, then of course you need the galav minyan, the chachma minyan. But when the chalos doesn't exist, is there still such a thing as an existence of the dvar Beis Din, of the maisa Beis Din? And if that is true, then all it needs is another maisa Beis Din. Because it's not really removing an existence. It's just creating a new maisa, another maisa Beis Din. So that's what this Gemara concludes. That aside for the chalos of Hadavar, there also is a reality to the Maisa Beis Din itself. But that could be undone by any comparable Beis Din. Doesn't have to be Galav Chachma Minyan. Yeah.
What do you mean? If you're going to say there's a reality to Maisa Beis Din, I can understand that it's just Beis Din are doing something and there's a reality to that. I don't. If you're going to say it's because they're doing something, then what's the other side to say there's no reality to it?
The other side to say is that their action, the action of Beis Din, it only exists in terms of its chalos. In other words, that's the question. The Maisa Takona of Beis Din, or the Dvar Takona of Kadosh Baruch Hu, does it exist aside for its chalos? Is there some existence aside for its chalos? For you and I to do something, there's no existence beyond the chalos. If I write a book and it gets burnt, that's it. The book doesn't exist anymore. There's no existence to my mice anymore. It's just a historical fact that I wrote something. But there's no present existence to the thing, right? If I make rules about the dorm and the dorm closes, that's it. The rules are gone. Open up a new dorm. Nobody here would have to follow those rules if they were squatting in the building. It's gone. It's gone. There's nothing. It had an existence. It had a reality, but that whole reality is now is gone. So where there's no more abstract existence of the gzeira. Now the question is there an existence from the body of based in itself? Just like based in is an abstract entity that exists continuously. Do you say that the Dvar based in is also like an abstract entity that exists continuously? Aside for the actual, now let's put it this way. When I keep the takana, am I merely responding to the changed reality in the situation? Or is it also an idea of obedience to the Dvar of the Bastin, to the word of the Bastin, to the words of the decree? So the nafkamina is, am I only responding to the changed entity? So that would be like you guys are saying. That's the first way. First way is to say that they said a certain situation is mechayev in something, right? So now when I have new fruits on and Yerushalayim is existent, that is mechayev me in a certain action. But the basin itself was just they were the cause for this new behavior demanded from this situation. Or is there a constant idea that apart from the situation, the decree itself has an existence? Because it comes from a continuous, conceptual, abstract entity of Bastin. If you hold like that, then the nafkamina is going to be when the whole situation is gone. Right, so I'm saying that according to neither side would you say, even if you hold when the situation is gone, if Yerushalayim would be rebuilt, it would still need a new takana. Right. But if you hold that it's existing, that the Dvar based in is a continuous existence, then you don't need another basin to be Oker a Cheftza, because the Cheftza is not here. The only thing is, you can't violate the Dvar basin, so another basin will undo it. Now there's no continual existence of the of that prior Dvar basin. Nimnu v'gomru, nimnu chavera, nimnu alecha chaverecha, viti ruah.
It's like you need a like force.
That's right.
To cancel out the that force.
That's
but
right.
If it were a greater thing with the
removing is not the same thing as bringing in. Yeah. Right. No, that's what I'm saying. That's how I'm getting out of that. Is to create a new cheftza is one thing. To remove it, you have to be greater. But over here, it's just the idea of listening to the basin. So it's just any basin can create a Dvar basin. They're not being oak or something. They're just speaking next. That's it. That's the latest. Okay. All right. I think it's.
What's the conclusion that it's not just Mipi Hashem, but also Mipi Basin?
So apparently that's a question of, is it a separate din of Kvod Shemayim, or is it a din in any, or is it a din because the source is still Kayam? You know what I mean? Anytime that you have a law-giving body, or is it in the nature of instituting law? Now, this is a separate thing of Dvar of Kvod Shemayim, so then it'll only be there. But if it's an idea of the instituting law itself, it has a certain structure, and it's considered to be a continuous activity of the law giver, then it would be a basin too. Okay.